So, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, today's text shows what happened after Jacob's death. His sons understood that Jacob's death implies the end of their safety. Jacob's death was like the loss of the last well-built dam to them. It was as if their final protection had been swept away. The harm they had done to Joseph, their younger brother, came back to their minds immediately. Long restrained anger of Joseph would take them over like a mighty flood. With their father's death, Jacob's sons put the question mark on their safety in Egypt. It didn't matter how much hospitality Joseph hadn't shown to them before. That was something done when their father Jacob was still alive. One fundamental thing had changed. Their father Jacob had gone. The basis for Joseph's hospitality may have vanished with their father's death. The mediator between them and Joseph had gone. Since it was not possible to appeal to their father anymore, the brothers sought their safety in what their father said. The brothers did not dare to present themselves to Joseph in person. Instead, they sent a messenger to deliver their message. The message says that their father commanded Joseph to forgive his brother's sin. We are not told whether this message is true or not. But now it is clear that the brother's evil comes to light. Although the brothers tried their best to hide their sin, now it is uncovered in public. Not only the brothers, but also Joseph acknowledges the undeniable existence of evil among the brothers. You, brothers, intended to harm me, which literally means you intended to do evil to me. Yet this is not the end of the story. Joseph brings to light another important fact which was hidden even by his brothers. He teaches that despite evil, God governs his people. Even though the brothers did not realize it, God's hands have always been with them. God has been achieving good in their lives. This morning, I summarized the message under the following theme. Joseph tells his brothers that God achieves good for his people. So God achieves good for his people. The first we will see, dire condition of God's people. In the text, the word evil or the word harm is used in direct opposition to good. To understand the text properly, it is important to define the meaning of evil. Evil specifically refers to what is recorded in Genesis chapter 37. As a shepherd, Jacob's sons had moved to find a greener pasture, and they finally ended up in a place called Dothan. As they were tending the sheep, they see a man is coming in the distance. It turns out that the man is their younger brother, Joseph. On seeing their younger brother, Jacob's sons responded in an evil manner. They plotted to kill him. What a terrible response it is. Joseph is coming to see that things are going well with the brothers. Joseph comes with shalom, peace. But his brothers responded with a vicious plan. No brotherly hug, no joyful gathering, only hatred and dislike. And this is the very act of brothers repaying good with evil. We can get a better understanding of the evil in what the brothers say. Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. Then we will see what comes of his dreams. So when we read Genesis, we should not treat dreams lightly. There are many cases when a dream functions as a means of God's revelation. God spoke to Abimelech in a dream. Jacob was also very familiar with the role of the dreams as God's revelation. God comforted Jacob in the dream at Bethel. In Genesis, God revealed his plan and his will through dreams. Therefore, the true reality of the brothers' evil is exposed when they say, "We will see what comes of his dreams." They didn't say it in expectation of what would really happen to the dreams if they killed Joseph. Instead, the brothers intended to prevent God's will from being fulfilled. In that sense, as one commentary says, the brothers at this point, they are at war with God. Congregation, this is the meaning of evil in our text. Working against or trying to prevent God's will from being fulfilled. As a matter of fact, the evil in Jacob's family is not unfamiliar to us. The brother's evil against Joseph is a natural outcome of their accustomed behavior to evil. But the problem is that these are the very people whom God chose for the sake of his salvation. Yet many times these people intended evil against God's will. Simon and Levi's merciless revenge shows their lack of care about God's plan of salvation. The fact that Reuben, their oldest son, brother, slept with his father's concubine shows the widespread influence of evil in the brother's life. Then in Genesis chapter 38, we can see what is implied by the existence of evil in the brother's life. The The situation is described simply that Judah's sons did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And Judah's sons are dying because of evil. Because of evil, Judah's lineage cannot be continued. And this is a serious problem. Because from Judah, our Savior, Jesus Christ, would be born. And this is what it means with the existence of evil among God's people. Evil in God's people puts God's plan for salvation at risk. To some degree, the brother's evil reflects our own situation. We know what God's word teaches us, yet deliberately, consciously, we stand against it or simply ignore it. It doesn't matter how often we are told to love our brothers and sisters, but many times our self-esteem and jealousy simply make us unable to love them. We have become so insensitive to sexual sins and blasphemies that we don't recognize them as a sin anymore. By nature, we hinder God's word from working in us. Instead, willingly, we follow the evil way. The worst part is that many times we just don't realize what is wrong with us. We are happy, we are content with the evil in our lives as long as we can hide it. Evil works actively among us. However, this is not the end of the story. The contrast is seen by Joseph saying, but God makes Joseph able to say, but God intended it for good. Joseph brings forth another important fact in the text. He teaches that despite evil, God governs his people. God achieves good. And the way God achieves good deserves our careful attention. While the brothers intended the evil, and God intended it for good. It is an undeniable fact that there is evil in the brothers' intention to harm Joseph. Yet God allowed it for good by turning the same evil into good. Although the brothers designed evil out of their own wickedness, God made use of their plan to achieve good for his own purpose. In order to fully appreciate the importance of God achieving good, we must see the meaning of good more closely. The good condition in our text is to save many people alive. And who are these many people? First, we can think of the Israelites. The discussion between Joseph and his brothers in chapter 45 is helpful in this context. Joseph says to his brothers that God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Here we see a great deliverance from God. God exercised a great work for his people. And this is the situation of good in which the Israelites are saved and multiplied to become many people. In this case, the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham is realized. God is accomplishing what he promised. God promised to Abraham that he would make Abraham into a great nation and that his offspring will be as many as the stars in heaven. And from one person, the Israelites became more than 70, and God would bring them to Egypt to preserve them until they become a great nation. And this is the meaning of good. God's will is being fulfilled. God achieves what he promised. At the same time, there is another aspect of fulfilling God's promise of the saving of many lives. The many lives refer to the people around the world who came to Egypt for food as well. And here, we see a fundamental task of God's people. And it was an important lesson for the Israelites to learn. All the people who came for food will lift up their eyes and see God's care in providing food for them. It was not the food itself that sustained them. In whatever circumstances, there were 7 years with an abundant harvest, followed by 7 years of a famine at the time. But not food. Not food, but God's wisdom gave them life. All the people should see God's work in Joseph. And Pharaoh provides a good example of this when he gave a vision why Joseph should rule over Egypt. Pharaoh said, "Since God has made all this known to you, Joseph, you shall be in charge of my palace." God's wisdom in his world supplied all the people with the food and life. In this way, as God promised, Abraham's offsprings became a blessing, and all the people on the earth are blessed through them. And this is also the task of God's people in the New Testament as well. We have to share God's wisdom in the gospel to other people to save their lives. This is what God intended in calling his people. In this manner, we hear again the echo of Genesis 1. Everything was good. Everything was done according to God's commandment. Let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning, everything was good, and in the end of Genesis, we hear again of a situation that is good. God achieved good. In our days, it is necessary to emphasize that Joseph does not call his high position in Egypt good. It is implied, but that is not the main reason. The good condition is the saving of many people. It is good when God fulfills his promise. When God's people carry out God's will, that is the good condition. God's greatness is shown in this way of achieving good. He makes use of the brother's evil plan. There is the brother's evil intention to destroy themselves and another's life. But it is God's will that is accomplished to save many people alive. The brothers sold Joseph to Egypt out of their own wickedness. Yet God made use of the same evil to preserve his people. Therefore, Joseph says, it was not you, brothers, who sent me here, but God. God's government, God's providential care is shining even in the middle of evil. God accomplishes his plan for salvation in spite of his people's evil. Then here, we ask one fundamental question. What does this reality mean to the Israelites, as well as to us as God's people? God achieves good in spite of his people's evil. Make no mistake there. There can be no boast at all from God's people. This is a nuclear bomb to legalism. God's people are not saved by their good work. And it is an important lesson to the Israelites who were on the verge of becoming a great nation. Imagine if later an Israelite child asks, Dad or Mom, why are we here in Egypt? The answer is clear. Their forefathers sold Joseph out of their own wickedness, yet God, out of grace, made use of it for good to save many lives. They cannot brag about what their fathers did. On the part of the forefathers, there was only hatred and evil. Only God's zeal in achieving his promise makes them able to live. They are not chosen because they are better than other people. Only because of God's grace and wisdom are they saved. There is no boast from God's people. Congregation, we are not saved because we are better than other people. Despite of our weaknesses and shortcomings, God achieved what he promised to us. Give thanks to God for his faithfulness. At the same time, keep in mind that God who achieves good hates evil. On many occasions, God reminds us of our weaknesses and shortcomings by many means. When we read our Bible study, when we attend the Bible study, when we read the Bible, or when we have a conversation with other believers. But in such occasions, do not harden your heart. Repent and confess your sins. God is just, and he sees us. Our sins will not go unpunished. Meanwhile, this confession of sins also implies that we must express our apology to our brothers and sisters against whom we have done evil. Don't make silly excuses. It is not a matter of self-esteem. Say sorry with a sincere heart. Don't act like those whose minds and consciences are corrupted. Since God is the one who achieves good in our life, we have to understand our personal wounds and hurt accordingly. Evil among us can can hurt us. This kind of wound mainly come from the people who are close to us. It can come from your parents. It can come from your siblings. Your spouse or kids can hurt you. Yes, it is evident that evil exists among us. But when you're hurt by your loved ones, though, don't waste your time hating them or cursing them. This cannot be the life of God's people, since God achieves good even through evil. Therefore, in your sorrow, put your trust in God, who works diligently for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Congregation, you are the ones who love God, and you are the ones who have been called into his kingdom according to God's purpose. Therefore, rejoice and be confident, since it is God who began a good work in us, and he is the one who will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Once again, rejoice in the Lord, who achieves good in us and through us. Amen.